Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone. And we're going to continue on in his discussion of judged creation. And this is actually a 10 or 12 DVD set. Barbara and I are listening to it, going into the background, Sydney, of Noah's flood, and then the aftermath of that. And, Sydney, the fact that there are so much proof that the flood took place. And basically, of course, there's an organized effort to make us feel that this is all certainly has nothing to do with science or history. And yet, there are over 500 different references in 500 civilizations about the flood. I mean, written at the time of this great flood. And of course, this occurred about the 1600 years after the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And apparently there was a very well-organized society before the Great Flood. There was great knowledge and scientific advances, but people were totally corrupt, and they were so evil that God actually decided to start it all over again. And so he killed every living thing except those things on the ark. And it sounds like such, sort of a fairy tale, but is it a fairy tale? Is it really what happened? And God, of course, destroyed everything by water. But he said, I will never again destroy the earth by water, next time by fire. And, the Old Testament was written, people probably questioned, what's he talking about? How could God ever destroy the earth by fire? And yet, as we find that nation after nation after nation is acquiring nuclear weapons, and certainly the United States government has transferred nuclear technology and even helped to finance Pakistan so they could build nuclear weapons, and certainly India has nuclear weapons. And as you noticed today, why Mumbai, the capital of India, there was a bombing in the financial area, and you know very well Pakistan was behind it. But of course, who really controls Pakistani intelligence? Why we do, ladies and gentlemen. The CIA has always funded Pakistani intelligence and funded and controlled Pakistani intelligence, and they were behind this attack in Mumbai about a couple of years ago, 160 people killed. What part are they playing today? Are they building up for a massive war in that area? Well, we don't know, but we're living in very, very dangerous times, and we must know history, and we must know God's word. And what God has warned is because God certainly does bring judgment on nations and certainly on civilizations that turn against him. But with that as a background, Pastor Billy Crone, so good to have you with us tonight. Pastor Billy, are you there?
Yeah.
You go right ahead.
Well, again, thank you for having me, Dr. Monteith, and I just really such a privilege to get to discuss this information because, frankly, it's being kept from the public, and for good reasons, albeit, not godly reasons, and because this information that people, they just don't want to get out. Because it totally undermines what we are being taught in the school system, everything in the media system, and of course it gives credence to the biblical account, which shows us that not only God is real, but that God really judged this world once, folks, because of sin and rebellion, and he's fixing to do it again. And the sadness of this cover-up is that it's keeping people from coming to logical conclusions. Oftentimes people, skeptics, and I used to be one, before I began to investigate the facts myself, before God had mercy on me. But people would say, well, there's no existence, there's no proof of the existence of God, and the Bible is just a book written by man, and, And most of the time, people don't even investigate, and they just repeat what the educational system, what their professors or teachers and or the media tells them.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Oh, we're told of hundreds of billions of years and water flowing, and that cut that great, that little river down the bottom there, that cut this great Grand Canyon. Well, there are other explanations like a massive runoff of water after a great flood. And simply, and the fossil record, I mean, are we laying down fossil layers today? What actually cause the fossil layers to be laid down? Somebody described it as, what are these fossils? Well, they're billions of dead things, laid down in sediment in layers, covered over with water all throughout the world. And you find them sometimes at the highest echelons. You'll find, as Pastor Billy will tell you, all sorts of clams and oyster shells close to the top of Mount Everest. How could you have oyster shells and clams up there at the top of Mount Everest? Well, maybe, of course, there was a flood at one time, and it resulted in those, and of course, the buckling of the Earth's crust, and that thrust the what had once been the ocean floor up to this very high level. They never try to explain it. All they do is sort of poo-poo the Bible, and yet, of course, as Pastor Billy points out, the reason they don't want you to believe in Bible and God is because they want to be free. They want to be their own God. They want to do what they want to do. They do not want to have to follow the directions of the being, supreme being that made the heavens and the earth. Pastor Billy, you pick up the story.
Well, that's just it. And again, you know, people can say it's a conspiracy, but I like what one guy said. If you can demonstrate that it actually is a plan in place, it's not a conspiracy at all. It's a plan. And that's what they're doing, folks. And we document this on our videos, so you can see interviews with actual scientists, archaeologists. And oftentimes these people are not even Christians, so you can't say if they're being biased against the Bible. But they will even admit in their own field, folks, that they are covering up as much as they're digging up anything that disagrees with their established paradigm, evolutionary thinking. They literally keep it from us. And many people have been actually escorted off their archaeological sites. Some of them actually have been, and we document this, the actual interviews, you can see it for yourself. They're escorted off the site with machine guns. Now, how is that science? That's a cover-up, okay? And so that's what we do. You're not going to find this in the educational system, by and large. You're not going to find it in your textbooks, certainly, at the universities, and you're not going to see it promoted in the media. So, fortunately, there's technology and the freedom currently that we can get this information out, and you can start off scoffing all you want, but I just invite you, get the evidence for yourself, look at it, check it out, and see if you have not, in fact, been lied to about a multitude of things. But that's what we do, Dr. Muncy. We've talked about how, you know, the basic premise with the worldwide flood, they say, well, gee whiz, if there really was a global catastrophe, like a worldwide flood, and it wasn't just local, you'd think we'd find some global evidence of that. Well, that's exactly what we present over and over and over and over again. And, you know, and basically that leads us to the common sense question, okay, well, what is it that actually, you know, caused the topography that we see today? Where did it come from? Why is the Earth in the shape it's in? Why do we have the mountains? As you mentioned earlier, Dr. Muncy, why do we have things like the Grand Canyon? Why do we have the Badlands up in the Dakotas there? Why do we have such scouring on the Earth and things of that nature? Was it really millions and billions of years of volcanic eruptions and collisions with the continents and blah, 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 like they would have us believe? Or is it actually the leftover remnant of a worldwide flood, okay, which the Bible says was God's first judgment on sin? He's going to do it again, folks. The Bible's clear about that. And again, many people will scoff at that idea. Now, and they'll say, there's just no way. You cannot take this flood account, Noah's flood, literally, because there's no way in the world, first of all, that there's enough water in the world to even cover the world. And so that's the obvious question, and we just deal with the facts. Could the Earth have ever contained enough water to cover the whole world? And folks, of course, if anything, even Aristotle, I believe, the philosopher, he mentioned that you must give the benefit of a doubt to the document itself in order to verify its authenticity. It is never to be arrogated to the critic. You have to give it the benefit of the doubt. So even at this point, even if you're listening to this interview, and right now you just don't even believe in the authenticity of the Bible, that it really did come from God, at least let the Bible speak for itself and see if it stands up to the facts. And when you read the biblical account, it tells you where this water came from and that there was plenty of water. In fact, we even know where that water is today. That was left over remnants of a flood. The Bible says it came from two places. Let me just quickly read you that text there in Genesis chapter 7. You can read it for yourself. And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, very specific, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Now, if you're paying attention, again, just let the Bible speak for itself. The Bible says that the water that flooded the earth came from two places, not just one. And this is a huge mistake that people make all the time. They'll sit down and go, you mean to tell me that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and that was enough to cover all the mountains all over the world? Well, first of all, most likely the mountains that we see today are higher than the ones in the pre-flood. But still, I would agree that just coming from above doesn't cut it, okay? And then they'll scoff and mock and say, you know, if you do the math and raining on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, the rain would have to come out down so hard that it would actually create so much friction that it would cause the atmosphere to catch on fire, blah, blah, blah. Well, hold on. Read your Bible. Let the Bible speak for itself. It didn't just come from above. It came from below. The text there said clearly that it also came from the springs of the great deep bursting forth from below. But let me deal with the one that came from above. This wasn't just an average rainstorm. Okay, it was for 40 days and 40 nights, but it wasn't just your average rainstorm. We go into this great detail in the study. Check it out yourself. When you take a look at the Hebrew words that are used in the Old Testament, of course, being written in Hebrew, you'll see that the words specifically chosen speak of not an average rainstorm, not even just a heavy downpour. It was an absolutely massive, loud, violent, horrific. It was the strongest, I believe, Hebrew word that they had to speak of this this rain. It was not just a minor shower. It was a major, mega, violent, horrible torrent of rain that lasted not just 1 hour, not a day, not a week, but 40 days and 40 nights, and it did not stop. And the point with that, the Bibles were pleased that nothing was going to survive this flood except those who were in the ark, okay? And it clearly sticks. All the air-breathing land animals and people on land that breathe air perished in that, okay? And again, but that's just one area. And part of the reason why that scientifically we believe that why the Bible chose to use those Hebrew words to describe not just rain, but a horrific rain that we can't even dream of, is because a lot of people believe that what was causing that rain to come down was a collapse of an atmosphere, a layer in the atmosphere that is now gone, that used to be above the Earth's atmosphere. And many people call this the water canopy theory. And it helps explain why when this rain did come down from above for 40 days and 40 nights, it was absolutely horrific. It's not just some convenient thing to explain that there was it was a huge amount of rain, okay? But actually, the Bible talks about the very good possibility that there was indeed an extra layer surrounding the Earth's atmosphere at one time, but it's no longer there. This is in the account of when God created the Earth. In Genesis chapter 1, it says this, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. And so God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And so the Bible says that when God created the sky, or i.e. the atmosphere, that he did so by placing an expanse between the waters that were on the earth from the waters that were in the upper atmosphere. Okay? And so, again, this gives us a clue to the pre-flood conditions that there was a, most likely a canopy of water surrounding the earth, okay, in the upper atmosphere. And so when God caused it to rain, that's why it was so horrific. That's why it was so violent. It wasn't just a rainstorm. That canopy around the atmosphere literally dropped and produced a massive megastorm that we can even dream about, and praise God, that promise would never be repeated again, okay? But it also happens to explain all kinds of things that we also deal with in this study. Very fascinating information, folks. Answers a lot of the thing about the Genesis account that people tend to scoff about. You know, people just want to just downplay the promise that God made of a rainbow after the flood. It's like, oh, ooh, what do you do? It's a rainbow. Well, folks, if they had this water layer there prior, there was a good indication that not only it didn't rain prior to the flood, because the Bible says that the earth was watered as mist came from the ground, okay, which would have been a huge surprise. All of a sudden, water's coming from the sky. Never seen it before, most likely. But it also explains why all of a sudden a rainbow appears on the scene, and that becomes the sign that God's never going to flood the earth, not the local floods, we still have those, the earth again like he did the first time. And so that was something new, and that's why it's significant, okay, because now you have a different refraction going right, because you literally have one less layer that's gone out of the atmosphere. It also explains, if you're paying attention to what I was reading, the Bible says that the flood started in the 600th year of Noah's life, okay? Now, you know, a lot of people at that point, that's when they say, well, see, this is exactly my point. You can't take this flood account literally because nobody lives 600 years old. Well, if you keep reading the Bible, you say it wasn't just 600 years old. Noah continued to live after that. You see that some people, I think they lived up to 969, Methuselah, I believe, and was saying, what? You mean to tell me that people live nearly 1,000 years old? That's crazy. That's proof why this is just a myth. It's just here to teach us a moral lesson. You cannot take this literally. Well, again, that's the importance, folks, of this water layer canopy around the earth. It not only explains why there was such a violent, massive outpouring of rain, it not only explains why there's a uniqueness today of a rainbow effect, but it also explains the long lifespans and also the large life forms that we see today, including things that we find all over the fossil record called dinosaurs. But it isn't just dinosaurs that we find in the fossil record post that got extremely huge. We find plant life that gets extremely huge. We find insects. We find beavers that were 8 feet long. We find dragonflies with a wingspan 4 to 5 feet long.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Been able to sample the air in the amber samples, and what did they find? Well, the oxygen level was much higher. The pressure, certainly atmospheric pressure, was much higher. There were no sun rays coming in because it was a canopy over the earth. And basically, you had people, some of them were growing to 12, 13 feet tall. I mean, you had massive insects. You had certainly massive trees, 1,000 feet tall. This was a whole different world before the flood. So pick the story up there, Pastor Billy.
Well, and again, these results, you know, the Bible not only explains why we find such massive remains, evolution does not have an answer for that, you know, by and large. And they certainly don't have a reason why all of a sudden they went out of existence and now people don't live very long and, nothing, plants, animals, or people get big like they used to that we find in the fossil record. They have zero answer for that. But the Bible does. And not only has an answer of why we find those remains, we'll get to that hopefully in a little bit, but it has the answer as to why those things got big in the first place. And that's what this outer atmosphere, that used to be around the Earth. And again, it isn't just something that the Bible says and explains it. They've actually, scientists, okay, have actually replicated those results, and they have been able to increase lifespan and also to, increase, size. It's well documented, folks. And just as I was saying before the break, that NASA is so promising with these results. Dr. Carl Ball was one of the researchers. And that NASA actually requested his research to see if they could utilize it for the space program. You know? And so, and in fact, they were doing one experiment, and we document this, they were doing one experiment and involved three scientists living on the ocean floor in the biosphere. Now, again, this, to just give a modern vernacular, easy way to understand, prior to the flood, with this outer layer of atmosphere, basically the whole Earth would be akin to living in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, if you're familiar with that. And you just increase the oxygen and the pressure of the oxygen, and just your body becomes completely saturated with oxygen. And it has profound and oftentimes positive effects on you. Well, NASA, you know, created one of these on the ocean floor in the biosphere. And these three scientists stayed in for only about 1 to 3 months, as the report goes. And this is a direct quote. Listen to this. When they left, they were all middle-aged with graying hair and low libidos. When they returned, their hair was clear of gray, their wrinkles had started to disappear, and their sex drive had so increased that their wives complained about it to NASA. That's a direct quote. I'm not making it up, and that's not a joke. Okay? It turned out, folks, that certain glands and organs and the scientists being thrust in this atmosphere akin to the pre-flood one, quote, reactivated, and blood tests showed unusual level of hormones that are normally associated with growth in young children. And it was further speculated that what would happen if they took this knowledge and built a room with this kind of atmosphere in it and slept in it for 8 hours a day. The man from NASA said, this is a direct quote, for every day spent in there, 1 year would be added to your life until you maxed out at about 1,000. Is it really far-fetched, folks, that the Bible mentions in the pre-flood days that people got older? The flood came when Noah was 600 years old. He was just midlife. Is it really whacked out that the Bible records that one gentleman lived 969 years old? According to NASA, for every day spent in this environment, 1 year would be added to your life until you maxed out at about 1,000. That's science, folks. Not just the Bible. It's not just a myth. It really can happen. And this is the kind of information they're keeping from you. And this is the kind of information that we're letting you out. And make up your own mind. Call us wacky scoff all you want. But take a look at the information yourself, and I think you will understand. Hey, folks, we're being lied to. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being lied to. And specifically, when you understand the reasoning, is to keep us to go along with their system of their world, which the Bible calls the Antichrist system, lead us into the time of greatest slavery this planet has ever seen, okay? And this is really real, folks. They've got to get you and I to get away from the Judeo-Christian thinking and ethic in order to pull off what they're trying to pull off on you. And the biggest lie that they're using us to go along with their system is to get us away from the Judeo-Christian ethic and supplant it with a lie called evolution, because they know if we buy into that, we won't think about God, we won't think about his judgment, we won't read the Bible, and we'll do whatever they say. They are literally rewriting history as we speak, and the problem is, it's a...
And of course, that's why they had to take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our school. I mean, they knew exactly what they were doing. This is why, of course, they will not allow creation to be taught in schools, an alternative evolution. Why they're doing everything they can to attack Christianity, both within and from outside the church, as they change the music and the message of the Christian church.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea,
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Everything in the entire world, you know, and the whole world is covered with water. And Pastor Billy is simply pointing out that if you study the what's down beneath the Earth's crust, there are massive supplies of water, far more water beneath the Earth's surface than there is on top of the Earth's surface in all of the oceans. And since he's describing some of these massive aquifers that lie below the surface of the Earth today, but of course we never talk about this, but these are the springs of the deep that are talked about in the Bible. And you pick up the story you were telling us about this one massive one in the center of our country that is simply a baby compared with some of the other massive aquifers all throughout the world.
Yeah, and a baby, a burp, is a good way to look at it, even though it covers about, it lies beneath 8 different states in the United States. It's that big, but that's a baby. Scientists have discovered, they just simply call it a blob of water that's located more than 500 miles underneath the Western Caribbean Sea. And this blob, that they call it, is 80 miles thick and 380 miles tall. But that's just another one. That's nothing compared to even the next several ones I'm about to share with you. Scientists have also discovered another source of water that reveals a reservoir that's about the size of the Arctic Ocean, also in the Earth's atmosphere. A researcher, Motohiko Murakami, he's at the Tokyo Institute of Technology in Japan, he found that there may be five times the amount of water in the Earth's mantle than all the Earth's ocean. You catch that? That's what, now that Ogallala Aquifer really is looking like a baby. Five times the amount of water in our current ocean around the whole world? How about five of those? And he found it 620 miles below the Earth's surface. And that's still nothing. They discovered deep down in the Earth's mantle, there's this mineral called wadsleyite. Okay, check it out yourself, W-A-D-S-L-E-Y-I-T-E. And what's interesting is this mineral not only holds water, but it holds a ton of water. And apparently there's so much of this wadsleyite mineral down below us with water in it, listen folks, that just from this source, it's been estimated that it holds enough water to fill anywhere from 10 to 30 of our oceans. And so it not only explains how, in fact, that once again, take the Bible at face value, where did this water come from? Not just above, it came from below. The springs of the great deep burst forth below. Was there enough water to flood the world to the top of the mountains? There was water, and dare I say, water to spare. There's tons of it. And then it also answers the skeptics say, well, if it really covered the whole world, then I'll give you that. But where's all the water from the flood? Well, first of all, take a look at the Earth. 75% of the world is still covered by it. Okay, 75% of the world is covered by water. Okay, but that which leads to the next point that we expose. The Bible says that after the flood, that God caused the mountains to rise and the valleys to sink down as the waters flood away. And that's from Psalm 104. That the mountains rose, well, let me grab the context, as you, God, covered it with the deep, it's speaking about the flood on the earth, that the waters were standing above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they hurried away. The mountains rose, and the valleys sank down to the place that you established for them. And so as that began to happen, God, again, cracks open the earth again. Fascinating word that's used there in Hebrew. Literally, means like lay an axe to. And butchers went crack, and God cracked it. But anyway, so as the mountains now, the earth, if you picture the earth is completely covered with water at this point, and God pops it open again and causes the cracks again, and the water begins to recede, and the valleys sink down as the earth, now the topography with the soft sedimentary is kind of moving around. And so you've got the low places going up, creating our mountains that we see today and hills, and you got the lower places where the water begins to recede back into the Earth's mantle. Where's all this water? Where did it all go? 75% of the world is still covered with it, and the rest of it went right back where it came from, right in the mantle of the Earth. It's still there, folks. And what's interesting, if you think about that, and that's really the way it went, folks, every time when we tap into these systems, we're watering our food today, irrigating with very well water that could be left over from the flood. And again, we don't put two and two together. It's very unfortunate. But that's another problem for the evolutionists. Evolutionists would say that the mountains we see today and all those what are called sedimentary layers, if you look at the side of a hill, if you're going down the freeway and in order to build that freeway, they've had to carve through the hillside or whatever, you look off to the side and you see all those layers that are in the rock there. Evolution would have you and I believe that those layers, those sedimentary layers, happened over millions and millions of years. And it took a million years for this layer, this tiny little layer of dirt, and another million years, this layer was deposited over nice and flat and neat, and another million years layer, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And then they want to say that, of course, that's what's been happening over the past 4.5 billion years. But anyway, they would say all these little lines, all these layers that we see in the Earth today happen nice and neat, these flat, nice, convenient layers all over the world. Well, gee whiz, folks, I don't know if you've been looking at those supposed layers, but a couple things. Number one, you can create those layers in a very short amount of time. It's called hydrologic sorting, okay, if you guys remember that from science class. And you could literally do an experiment yourself. If you're listening to the radio interview, you can demonstrate hydrologic sorting. And basically what you do is you take a cup, a thick glass you can see through, hit a pile of dirt from your yard, chuck it in that glass with some water in it, okay, shake it up really good, and put it on your counter and let it settle. And in just a few hours, what you'll see is the dirt not only settles to the bottom, but it settles in layers based on density. And so the reason why we have these layers all over the world, and notice it's not just in some places, it's all over the world, okay, is because as the water was covered by the earth was deluged, and everything, the earth, the topography, the dirt, everything was completely mixed up and stirred up just like that glass. The Bible says, if you do the math, that the world was under the floodwaters for over a year, and then they began to recede. Well, while the water is completely flooded, that dirt has now settled all over the world in those layers just like hydrologic sorting. The problem was, is after the waters begin to recede, then those layers begin to get tweaked because as the valleys sank down, the mountains arose. And that's why we have what we have today. Now, I said all that just to get to this. Now, I'll explain that it doesn't take millions of years to create sedimentary layers, and you could do that very easy experiment and demonstrate it yourself. The major problem for evolution, folks, is if you take a look at those sedimentary layers, dare I say even the ones you see driving down the road, okay, notice that they're not nice and neat. They are bent. They are curved. They are twisted. Some are going against each other. Some are at 45-degree angles. Some are at 90-degree angles. Some are butted up and on top of others. And so how do you explain that? How do you explain how these rocks, these sedimentary layers, are bent and twisted and contorted all over the world? Well, again, if you listen to evolution, it makes absolutely no sense. But if you listen to the Bible, it makes perfect sense. These rock layers were laid down during the time of the flood while they were still soft, again, the sedimentary layers. And as the earth rose in various places, okay, from the springs of the deep bursting forth from below, and then later as God caused the mountains to rise, and so you got this twisting effect going on, the formerly soft sedimentary layers begin to rise and begin to bend, and over time they become hardened into the bent rock layers that we see today even driving down the road. And you say, well, that's crazy. That's rock. You know, you can't just take dirt and water and rock and it becomes hard. You know, dirt and water becomes rock. Well, whatever you do, please don't buy a bag of concrete, because that's exactly what you're doing. Under the right circumstances, you can take mineral, you can mix it in water, and in a very short amount of time, it becomes hard, doesn't it? We use it for driveways all the time. We use it for those freeways that you're driving on, taking a look at this effect. And that's a whole other thing that we can talk about deeply, but don't have the time tonight. But yes, they became hardened into bent rock layers we see today. But evolution has no explanation for that. These are supposed to be nice and neat flat layers. What in the world are they doing all bent up and twisted up? Now, another big thing that evolution, folks, has no explanation for, but once again, the Bible has a perfect explanation for it, is what in the world, as you started at the beginning of the program, Dr. Munchie, what in the world are we doing finding marine life on the top of mountains? I'm talking whales. I'll get to in a second. Whales, oysters, clams, and I mean by the megaton. Okay? What in the world is that doing on the top of the mountain? Well, again, if you listen to evolution, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But if you listen to the Bible, Psalm 104, that after the flood had covered the earth, and then the gods begin to raise the mountains, cemetery layers, which explains why we have them all bent today and twisted into the various forms today, not nice and neat layers like evolution would have you and I believe, and the valleys begin to sink down. So therefore, that which used to be on the bottom is now on top, i.e. the mountain. So that which died on the bottom and was buried on the bottom at the first year of the flood, once the mountains arose, then guess what's at top? That which died on the bottom. And that which typically would die first in a flood is the marine life that's closest to the bottom, i.e. clams and oysters, and then we also find some marine life like whales. Okay? Totally, completely, perfectly explains why we find what we find. Evolution has absolutely no answer for it. And again, folks, as you take a look at this evidence, this isn't just a convenient way to explain it. It perfectly agrees with the biblical account. Okay? And the whole time, evolution has no answer. And there's no answer with this, no answer with that, no answer with this, no answer. And it just keeps stacking up. That's why, over the years, I just continue to use the word, and it's a lie. I believe that most people who maintain an evolutionary belief system, number one, either just don't know. Because it's a closed system, they're keeping this information that we present on these studies to you, and so they don't know. So I think a lot of people, even teachers, even professors, they don't know because they've never been presented with the other facts, the other scientific, archaeological, biological evidence that the institution is covering up. But if people are aware of these things and they continue to maintain evolutionary premise and teachings, I'm sorry, folks, you're being lied to. And I'll use that word because what else do you call that? Okay, let me give you some evidence of what they find. You think I'm crazy that they find marine life on top of mountains? Hey, folks, here's the fact. Edmund Hillary, and we document this, folks. You can see the pictures with your own eyes on these videos, folks. We're not making this up. Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest in 1953, and he discovered something very unexpectedly at the 26,000 feet level. And this fascinates me. You hear about this in history class, by and large, hopefully, some history class, okay, about his famous climb to Mount Everest. But I guarantee you, you will not be told what he found at the 26,000 feet level in a secular textbook, by and large. He stuck his pick in the ground, you know, as he's hacking up the mountain, right? So pull himself up. And about the 26,000 feet level, that's when he noticed there were seashells up there. Now, folks, I'm not talking just a couple. I'm not talking, you know, maybe somebody beat him to it. They were eating oysters, and they dropped a couple. No. He noticed them for the next 3,000 feet all the way to the top. What in the world are seashells doing thousands of feet on the top of Mount Everest? Okay? They won't tell you that. But that's just one mountain. High in the Andes Mountains, they also have found gigantic oysters, huge, massive oysters. They're so big, and again, this is explained in the pre-flood atmosphere when everything got giant. How would you like to eat one of these oysters? The oysters are so big, folks, they're about 12 feet across. 12 feet, 9 inches, 12 feet across. We have about 650 pounds. We show you the actual picture of the actual archaeological dig that they exposed these things. And the guys in the picture, if I remember correctly, they're actually laying on top of a pile of these huge 12-foot oysters on the top of Mount Andes, about the 13,000-foot level. Okay, and he's just kind of basking in them. He's laying on top of them, and he's got kind of his arms spread out. It's a really cool picture. And so that's the obvious question, though. How did seashells get all the way to the top of Mount Everest or the Andes Mountains, let alone seashells 12 feet across, 650 pounds? Okay, last time I checked, clams, oysters, they don't walk too good. You know, maybe you could tie a string to them and drag them for a while, but they don't walk too good, let alone weighing 600 pounds, 12 feet across. Okay, but that's again, still a bit tip of the iceberg. We not only find clams, oysters on top of mountains, but you find them in the petrified closed position. Now, that's very key, because what's strange, if it was a natural, normal death for a clam or oyster, if you walk along the beach, okay, when it dies, if it dies before a bird gets it, its muscles relax, and the shell just kind of pops open. And then, of course, the meat's exposed, and that's almost always gone when we find it on the ocean. But you always find it in two pieces. Okay, you might find it, you know, nice and neat and close together by and large, you know, unless, of course, it's still alive. Okay, but when it dies, the muscle relaxes and pops open. So this tells us, and that's how they find these clams. They don't just find them on top of the mountain, but they find them petrified in this closed position. So that tells us logically that the ones that they found in these mountains died very, very rapidly. They were buried alive. Well, how could this be? Well, if you listen to evolution, again, it makes absolutely no sense, period. But if you read the biblical account and give it a chance, it makes absolute perfect sense. The Bible says at the time of the flood, the springs of the great deep burst forth and caused a massive rapid burial of all kinds of marine life on the bottom of the ocean. And so as the waters continue to burst forth from the seams, that, which, by the way, are still there, folks, around the earth, from the seams around the earth, it spread the sediments and the dirt and just violently caused the ground at lower elevation to literally be covered in a tidal wave of sediment, which would include this marine life that we see today. And then, after it had massive burials of these clams, of these oysters and whales, I'll get to that in a second, which in the Bible says that God caused, after the earth was flooded for about a year, caused the mountains to arise. So again, they were already dead, massive, huge graves, and then that which used to be at the bottom was shoved up to the top, that the mountains that we have today. Perfectly explains why in the world we don't just find clams, why in the world we find giant clams, giant oysters. Not only why we find clams and giant oysters by the megatons and on top of mountains, but it also explains why they find them in the perfectly closed, petrified positions. All in one fell swoop. Not just convenient, it answers the whole mystery. There's no mystery about it. The only mystery is why they don't tell you. Why can't they give you at least an alternative? Because I think I know why. How would they explain it? Well, according to evolution, here's the fact. We find whales, we find clams, oysters, giant ones, by the way, and that we don't see today, a miscale, and we find them, they died very suddenly in a closed position, and we have no answer. And here's an alternative, the Bible. Oh, by the way, it explains every aspect of it. They're not going to do that. You know, that's why. And here's an actual artifact, folks, from the New York Times that document that they find even whales on top of mountains. This is wild. Okay, and I deliberately wanted to quote the New York Times on this so you can do the research yourself, folks. Every once in a while, some of the stuff gets leaked out. And then pretty soon, once they catch on, then it gets hushed up and you can't find the article anymore. But anyway, this article says this from the New York Times. Scientists have found fossil whales and other marine animals in the mountain sediments in the Andes. And after the break, I'll tell you what the rest of the article says.
All right, we'll be right back. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, the article says that they found these in the whale and marine animals on top in the sediments.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Evidence of aquatic being, aquatic animals at the tops of mountains. But this other man living at the time of Charles Darwin said, obviously, I mean, these sea creatures at the tops of mountains represent the fact that they were created at the time of the Great Flood, and they were laid down in sediment there as the time of the Great Flood, why these mountain ranges were pushed up. But you see, there is an organized effort to suppress this information. Why? Because if it's true, why, of course, it means that God judged the world, and God is real, and, well, maybe he's going to judge the world again. I think he's already in the process of doing it But of course, we're just going to have to wait and see. But we've never seen hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and the events that we're witnessing today, at least not in my lifetime, not in the degree that we're witnessing them today. More and more terrifying natural phenomenon and even supernatural phenomenon occurring today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, certainly we hope that many of you want to get the DVD series, The Judge Creation. I think it's either 10 or 12 DVDs. They're available from Radio Liberty. Of course, part one, part two, we have his Pastor Billy's series on the fearful creation. We have his series on the final countdown. We have a series on RFID technology. They're all available by calling Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do have prepared the first five of Billy Crone's 10 talks on the final countdown, simply showing the prophetic significance of the events that have taken place today. Pastor Billy's an excellent teacher. We're privileged to have him with us, and we do hope that you'll want to get this information and help us to get it out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, because I need to remind you, my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help in any way you can. And if you're not in a position to help, and certainly with the number of people we have out of work now, I understand, but if you're not in a position to help, but you agree with our message, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We hope that many of you will want to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and it'll help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle that's taking place. We hope many of you will want to get the material we have on the secret and covert organizations. The Bilderbergers, we have a book on the Bilderbergers. We have a four-tape set on Bohemian Grove. We have an excellent DVD on the Bohemian Grove. We have certainly two books on Skull and Bones, and we have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones. You need to get this information. You need to help us get this information out across America. If you want to know, of course, what happened to Martin Luther King, we have a great 4-CD set. And James, pardon me, but James Earl Ray did not kill Martin Luther King. We have an excellent 4-CD set on Bobby Kennedy's death. Saran did not shoot Bobby Kennedy. We also have a book and a DVD on that. We have a couple of four-tape sets and a book and DVD on President Kennedy. And, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot President Kennedy. In fact, most of what you think you believe just isn't true. They control your reality. Who are they? Well, that's why you need to read The Brotherhood of Darkness. The Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the CD. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You want to know the true story of what happened when the USS Liberty was attacked in 1967, and the plan was to kill all those American sailors and send the ship to the bottom of the ocean so we could go to war with Nasser, just exactly as they staged the attack on the World Trade Center, so we could go to war with Afghanistan and with Iraq. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Daniel Duval, and we're going to be talking about his book, Noah's Ark and the End of Days. And of course, we just did a program with Pastor Billy Crone on the background of the Great Flood and the fact that you have been lied about the scientific evidence about the Great Flood. There's all sorts of evidence about the Great Flood, and you can find it in the fossils. You can find it in historic records. But of course, Daniel has done a good job in the first part of the book talking about the background of the flood from the biblical point of view and what, of course, the Bible says about the flood. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for having me on.
Well, basically, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and, of course, your ministry and what you're trying to accomplish with this book.
Okay. Well, my name is Daniel Duval. So I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. After graduating high school, I went to college at The Ohio State University, graduated with a bachelor's in microbiology with honors and distinction, and God put a call on my life at that point. I gave up a fellowship to graduate school where I was going to study virology and instead went to Bible school where I basically began my walk into my call. And for 2 years, I was there, and once I graduated, I began to write my book, Noah's Ark and the End of Days, in the fall 2009. And by the fall of 2010, it was published and in print. My ministry is called Bride Ministry. My website, www.bridemovement.com. And our vision is to promote unity in the body of Christ and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. And with the book, Noah's Ark and the End of Days, you know, there were several things that I set out to do with it. One of which, and certainly not the least, was to bring some truth and some reality back to the story of Noah, what really occurred during the time before the flood, and also how we can draw prophetic types and shadows and look at pictures of what we're walking into as we move towards the end of the age.
Well, I think it's really very important for people to understand there's about a 1600-year period from the time of the Garden of Eden and up until the time of the Great Flood. And so here you're dealing with 1600 years, and of course people lived a lot longer during that period of time. And of course Methuselah lived 900 years. So he died just about the time the flood took place. I think it was that same year. And of course, Enoch was sort of one of the forerunners of Noah. A lot of genealogy there. But why did God decide to destroy the earth, you know, with a great flood?
And, you know, this is a great question, because a lot of, you know, people have had an understanding that, you know, God just decided to destroy the earth because he was wicked or mean, or they have this absurd view that the flood was just a local flood and there was just some sin and God flooded a field or something. And this was not at all the case. In order to truly understand why God sent the flood, you have to understand the reality of activity that was occurring in that time.
All right, fine. Well,
are we heading towards a break?
We're heading towards a break, so we'll let you pick this up after we get back. But I think it's vitally important that there was wickedness, terrible wickedness in the world. And, of course, the demons were here. Well, Daniel, you go right ahead. We're talking about why did God bring this great flood, and what part of the demons play in? And you make a very distinct difference between the demons, certainly, and the fallen angels. And I think all of these things need to be covered, the Nephilim. So why don't you pick up and talk about some of these things? That I thought your interpretation was quite interesting. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the basis of what was occurring during the flood goes back to this scenario with the sons of God. And in Genesis chapter 6, you see this event occur where the Bible really breaks down how wicked the world was. And it says, you know, the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they had children by them. And these became, you know, the giants, the men of old, men of renown. And this is really important because you cannot downplay this fact. That term, sons of God, is the Hebrew term B'nai Elohim. And this term is only used four times in the Bible. The other three uses occur in the book of Job, Job 1:6, Job 2:1, and Job 38:7. The first two uses in Job both discuss how Satan is being escorted before the throne of God. At that time, there were no men being escorted before the throne of God. To see the face of God is to meet your death. The Bible is pretty clear about that. So to see the sons of God escorting Satan before the throne of God, we understand this is occurring in God's throne room. We also understand that these sons of God, they're not humans that are escorting Satan. No, these are angels. And the same term is also used in Job 38:7 when it talks about how God is forming the earth. And it says, the morning stars and the studs of God rejoice as God is forming the earth. And what we see is, well, God created man on the sixth day. Who is rejoicing while the foundation of the earth is being laid? And well, it's the angels. And so,
are they good angels or are they bad angels? That's the thing.
Well, the term B'nai Elohim seems fairly generic until you see what happens in Genesis 6, where we see that whatever these particular angels, they rebel. So, one, we just established that they are angels. Two, we understand that the ones in Genesis 6, which are in the, you know, days of Noah, before Noah, but also during his days, that time frame, they are rebelling.
Hold that thought here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. What is really rather interesting about Sidney Daniel's book is he talks about what was going on in the earth that it was so wicked that God had to intervene, or that he decided to intervene. And of course, he taught the talk in Genesis about, of course, how the angels certainly had sexual relationships with women, and then they had their offspring, these men of renown. Many people believe that they were the Nephilim. Well, of course, you know, ordinarily good angels are not going to be going around having intimate relationships with women. So these were probably the fallen angels. And certainly, they were referring certainly to as the sons of God. But it's assumed that these are the fallen angels. And they're populating the earth with these half-breeds, half angelic, half human beings. And of course, there are other things that he actually... Daniel makes a separation between the fallen angels and demons. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of demonic activity during this period of time. And, of course, God had to do something to try to rescue humanity, and the only thing he could do was start in all over again. Of course, people say, well, I mean, after all, a God that could get to heaven and the earth could have stopped this whole thing. It couldn't have happened without his knowledge and consent, and yet, of course, he's always given mankind free will. And time and again, mankind, of course, accepts God's gift and then misuses it. So, basically, of course, the people want to argue against God. Well, how could a just God do that? Well, basically, of course, what they're saying is they're not arguing that there's a God. They're just arguing that he's a just God. But I don't think that you or I or anybody is going to really understand God and why he does what he does. Well, at least we have the Bible as a guide. Would you agree or disagree with that? And then, Daniel, I want your take on of what the difference is between an angel or a fallen angel and a demon.
You know, I absolutely agree with you, Doctor. I mean, there are things about God that will only be revealed to us on the other side of eternity. But for now, we do have the Bible, we do have the Word of God, and we just have to take Him at His word. Regarding the demons, first I explain what the sons of God were, because when they came in unto the women, they had children, and the Hebrew word that's translated giant is the word Nephilim. And these were hybrids. And this is the state of the wickedness that the world was in, that this kind of activity was occurring. And these giants, no, they weren't good. There was nothing good about them. When they show up in Canaan later on, God tells the Israelites to destroy them from the face of the earth. But in the case before the flood, you know, this was definitely occurring. And this also leads to an understanding of why God destroyed the earth. And it was because the seed of the Messiah was on the verge of being weeded out. And so in order for Jesus to come at the appointed time, which he had to, because the Bible said that he was slain from the foundation of the world, meaning he had to be born at the right time, God had to make the necessary maneuvers to bring that about. And now that we understand that there were crossbreeds, hybrids, what we have to understand is that, you know, we look often in the Bible for signs for what happens with humans, what happens when we enter eternity. And, you know, the Bible's pretty clear. There's two destinations, heaven or hell. There's also a resurrection of the just and the unjust. All people will receive some kind of resurrection, whether it be to rule and reign with Christ, or whether it be at the great white throne judgment to be cast right into the lake of fire. But there will be a resurrection. Now, in Isaiah chapter 26, there is a very interesting passage. It says, O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominions over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. And it's saying that, you know, they are dead, they shall not live. They are Rapha. That word deceased is actually the word Rapha. And this is related to the term Rephaim, which is a tribe of giants mentioned in the Old Testament. It also has a connotation of meaning ghost, or to be still unto death. And when we read Isaiah chapter 26, verse 13 through 14, what we're literally reading is the Bible saying that these Rapha, these deceased, they have no resurrection. And we have to make a distinction, because the Bible goes on in verse 19 of the same chapter, Isaiah 26, to say, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. So, and it ends with the earth shall cast out its dead. And we know from many other passages in the Bible, that we, all humans, will experience a resurrection. So who are these dead that are not going to experience a resurrection? Well, they are the Rapha. They are the ghost. They are the hybrid. They do not enter eternity the same way that human spirits enter eternity, because they're not human spirits. That's the problem. And so where do they go? Well, the Bible doesn't say that they go anywhere. You know, even dealing with deliverance or any kind of ministry like this, you understand quickly that there are a hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. There are some spirits that are basically like stupid, idiotic children, and there are other spirits that are extremely powerful, like principalities and power spirits that hold dominion and rulership over entire countries and nations, cities. And there is a difference, because there are fallen angels. There are the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim. There's a whole hierarchy among angels, but there are demons, and demons are separate creatures. They are a separate existence. And I believe, according to Isaiah, when we're looking at this passage, that there is only one conclusion that can be made, that the deceased, being called Rapha, which also means ghost if you go into the Strong's concordance, it must be the spirits of these departed Nephilim, because otherwise the passage literally contradicts itself, saying that, yes, we'll have a resurrection, except the dead people that don't have a resurrection, which makes no sense. And then when you go into pseudepigraphic works like the Book of Enoch, it'll just come out and tell you in chapter 6 that God sent the spirits out of the Nephilim, the giants, to become wandering demonic spirits on the earth to torment and wage war with men. So when we get into extra-biblical texts, we understand that this is the understanding that the people had. So this is really important because this gets into a lot of really interesting areas that help us to understand what Satan is really trying to do with some of these things he's working towards in the last days.
Well, I think it's significant the fact that certainly there were these supernatural events, these supernatural beings. They certainly were not normal at all, that existed during the days before the Great Flood. And, of course, it permeated the entire human race, and as a result, God had to eliminate them and start in all over again. What is really so interesting, of course, if you study what goes on today, and of course a lot of people scoff at the idea of aliens, but I believe that they're supernatural beings, I believe they're demonic beings, and of course they bridge this from the supernatural realm into the world in which we live. I believe we live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. I believe we live in a rational world, but there's certainly an irrational world. There's an invisible world. There's an intangible world. There's a spiritual world out there. And then we hear all of these stories about people who've been abducted. The first time I ever heard that, I thought, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. But when you realize that there are over 5,000 cases actually recorded by a psychiatrist back at Harvard University, I think his name is Dr. Marks or Mark, and basically, of course, they all tell very similar stories about how, oh, of course, when they're abducted, why, if they're males, why they want to get their semen, if they're females, they want to get their ova, they're collecting a reproductive material. Why would demons want to do that in this day and age? Well, maybe they're planning on doing something similar to what happened in the days of Noah. This is the only logical explanation I can see for it. But the world is growing increasingly wicked today. I mean, certainly look and see what's happening. Well, one out of every two marriages ends in divorce, and even more in the Christian community than the non-Christian community. Of course, that's because Christians get married and non-Christians don't. But, of course, we see as half of the marriages failing in the Christian community. Certainly 40% of children are born out of wedlock today. We've certainly had our political leaders championing the cause of homosexuality. We should be praying for the homosexuals, but to tell them what they're doing is perfectly normal and they can, just like everybody else, does them a disservice. They need to understand, of course, that their only hope for salvation is to accept the Lord and turn from their wicked ways. And no matter what the driving force is in the final analysis, homosexuality is a choice. You may have certain urges in that direction. This is, they've existed down through the ages. But men can control their sexual urges if they want to, and if they don't want to, if they abandon themselves to the dark side, then there are going to be consequences, severe consequences in this world and in the next one. So basically, Daniel, as you develop these ideas and you go into the background of Noah, and of course Noah is told to build the ark by God, and how long did it take him to build that ark?
Well, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to him in the 500th year of his life, but he enters the ark in the 600th year of his life. So there is a 100-year period there of testing, of planning, of building, of walking with the Lord through this process.
And of course, these exact dimensions of the ark are laid out by God, and exactly how it's to be built, and all, everything is there. And of course, Noah didn't have to go out and get the animals. God mm-hmm. brought the animals to Noah. I think this is so important. The animals came. Noah didn't round them up, you know, go out, come on, dinosaur, whatever it would be, you know. Here, pussy, or here, little lion, come on. And God brought the animals to Noah. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Daniel, you go right ahead with the story.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
It was terribly evil at this time, leading up to the Great Flood. And Satan was there. He had his angels, he had his demons, he had his Nephilim. And they were really dominating the earth. But of course, they had to know what Noah was doing. They had to realize that God had a plan, and Noah was an important part of that. And Noah was actually building the ark under instructions from God to at least rescue part of mankind, or a remnant of mankind, a remnant of all the animals on the earth, and that Satan was incapable of defeating Noah. Why? Because Noah was guarded by God. And of course, Daniel's point, I think, is very well made. If we give our life to God, why, of course, Satan cannot prevail against us. He may be able, down the line, with God's permission, to destroy us, but certainly at this time, God did not give permission for Satan to destroy Noah or his family or thwart his effort to build the ark. The ark was built because, of course, God wanted humanity to actually survive and wanted to start in all over again. That's what it was all about. He wanted to start in all over again, and of course, this is how they were going to go about doing it. And, of course, a pair of every animal so they could reproduce. And certainly, you know, maybe there was just one pair of dogs, but within there were all sorts of the genes which make up all of the dogs which are on the earth today. It's not impossible at all if you think, look at it scientifically. Whether whatever size the horses were, they had within their genetic structure, the genetic structure of the biggest horses and the smallest horses that exist in the world today. But Satan was incapable of thwarting God's overall plan. And certainly, I think Daniel's point is well taken. When we give ourselves to God, we curse come under his protection. Go ahead, pick up the story there, Daniel.
Well, so we're at the flood, and the flood strikes. This wiped out all flesh that walked on the earth. So at this point in time, all of the Nephilim were wiped out. All of the humans that were wicked and evil and dying in their sins were wiped out. And the ark was lifted above the waters, and it delivered all of them that were within it. And we also have to understand that there were two sides to this judgment that occurred with the flood, because the flood destroyed everything in the natural. But the angels that had descended to the earth and had sinned and rebelled against God were also dealt a punishment under the wrath of God. And the New Testament bears this out. In Jude chapter 6, it talks about how the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Well, who were those angels that didn't keep their first estate? These were the angels that rebelled before the flood. It's again repeated in 2 Peter 2:4. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, that's Hades, and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So he judged the world with the flood, but he came, he spared not the angels that sinned, and threw them into hell. He actually bound them up. So these angels suffered a judgment. And in 1 Peter, these angels, these same angels are mentioned again in chapter 3. And it says that, you know, Christ has suffered sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. But then it goes on to say, he was quickened in the spirit, by which he went and preached unto the spirit in prison. And in 1 Peter 3:19, this word prison is the word Tartarus. It's the only time that the Greek word Tartarus shows up in the Bible. And it is a reference to the deepest, darkest part of hell. And these spirits, according to Greek grammar, whenever the word spirit is presented without a qualifying noun, like spirits of men, it must be understood for what it is, rhema or spirit. And therefore, it must refer to angels. And
now, are these good angels or bad angels?
These are the bad angels.
All right, fine.
These are the same angels that rebelled.
All right, hold that. Our guest is Daniel Duvall. His book, Noah's Ark and the End of Days. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty as we explore, of course, how this applies to what's going on in the world today.
From the mountain. right.
No.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Daniel Duvall, and of course we're looking at the story of what the world was like before the Great Flood. And the world was wicked, and there was sexual immorality, and there were demonic spirits there. And we have, of course, demonic spirits in the form of UFOs and aliens, and there are supernatural events taking place today, and in many events, in many instances, they parallel the events that were taking place as far as sex and with these demonic beings and their fetish for collecting reproductive material from both men and women today. Well, Daniel, before we go on, why, of course, would you like to tell list people how to get in touch with your ministry and how to get copies of your book?
Yes. My ministry can be found at www.bridemovement.com.
One more time, what's the name of it again?
www.bride, like wedding.
Bride, right.
Bride Movement.
Bride Movement, okay, fine.
.com.
Okay, bridemovement.com. And how can people get copies of your book?
My book sells from my website every book I sell from my website, I do autograph. But the book is also available at every major distributor of books, from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to Borders. You can even get it on eBay and other sites as well.
All right, fine. We go right ahead. So basically, of course, Noah is building the ark. He's got the ark. He's got the animals on board. He then, of course, as the deluge starts, so just before it starts, he gets on the ark, closes the door, and then, of course, what happens?
And that same day, the flood strikes. And it's interesting because when the flood strikes, it says that, you know, the fountains of the deep are broken up. This is really important to understand because, you know, evolution has said that because we see, fossil layers and things like that, that, evolution took place over millions and millions of years. Well, the fact of the matter is that when you see fountains breaking up from the deep, what's happening, that's like volcanic activity, extremely hot temperatures. It's not only water is coming out, but it would also be, fire and brimstone, basically. You have water coming down from the top because when God created the earth, he divided the waters from the waters. And some of these waters were lifted up and created a canopy of a thick canopy of water in the atmosphere around the earth. So it was also a different type of atmosphere. All of this water was drained from the atmosphere. And that came onto the earth to come to bring the flood from the bottom. Volcanic activity and other kinds of activity broke open the deep, and water came from under the earth as well. This was the same water that would have watered the Garden of Eden and the whole earth before the flood. There was no rain. The ground was watered from.
But so basically there were two sources of water. One was rain. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then, of course, the fountains of the deep open. And this massive amounts of water that's in aquifers under the ground came up, and suddenly it actually caused the earth to be totally covered with water. And, of course, as a result, all living things perished, except, I suppose, for the fish. You go right ahead.
That's absolutely right. And you know, when this water came up, I mean, obviously, you're going to see what was really the source of the fossil layers that we see, the deep caverns and the different kinds of landscapes that were created as a result of this flood around the earth. So this really rearranged a lot of things in the earth and the way the landscapes were and all of that. And so this flood happened. All living flesh died. The angels were judged, and Noah and those that were elected with him, his children, were delivered. This is where basically the story ends as far as the flood, because he's on this water for a long time. Eventually, the ark settles on Mount Ararat after, you know, so many days have gone by, and the water has receded a little bit. And Noah and his children work their way down from there, and they begin culture over again. But this leads us into a whole other interesting scenario, really, because not everything was forgotten. And Ham, because of an incident with Noah where he walks in and sees his father's nakedness, winds up cursed, and all of his seed after him is cursed. And we see a move towards rebuilding society that come out of the seed of Ham in the form of Nimrod, this guy who eventually tries to build the Tower of Babel. And I guess we can touch on this a little bit, because this is also really important, even moving towards the end of days. What were they really trying to do at the Tower of Babel, which was really the first organized formation of an attempt of man to do something great after the flood? And to really understand this, we have to understand what was going on before the flood. And because Nimrod, which his name means rebel, and understanding the context of the Hebrew, he was actually a rebellious hunter that was against the Lord. They were trying at the Tower of Babel to make contact. What were they trying to make contact with? The Bible says that they were trying to build a tower unto heaven to make a name for themselves. And some people think that this was just a big tower. They were just going to build a tall tower into the sky. Well, it might have been a tall tower, but that would make no sense. There's nothing that you can do with a tall tower. However, there is something that you can do when you understand that heaven occupies alternate dimensions. And what they were really trying to do is to make contact with fallen spirit beings in other dimensions through the use of what is really known as a portal.
That, I think, is a fascinating explanation. Is there any science, is there any biblical justification for it? I'm not questioning it's right, but of course I'd love to know the source of that, where you got that concept, because I think it would certainly explain why, of course, today we find a replica of the Tower of Babel over in Strasbourg, where the European Parliament meets. And of course, the European Parliament is a prototype of this coming world government. I believe it'll be a satanic government, but where did you get that idea? I mean, is there anything biblical, or is this certainly a surmise?
This is absolutely biblical.
I'd love to know that. Please develop that idea. I think that's very important.
Okay. This idea comes from an understanding of the layers of heaven. The Bible describes heaven as being layers of dimensions. What does that mean? Some people think that Earth is the beginning, and if you get into the sky, you're kind of working your way into heaven. And if you go out into the cosmos, you've gone deeper into heaven. And if you go far enough, maybe down some random black hole, you'll find God. And this is their understanding of how heaven works. And this is the backwards thinking. It's not true at all. This is not what the Bible says. So what does the Bible tell us about heaven? Our understanding really begins in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 4. And in this passage, the apostle Paul is explaining how he knew a man so many years ago, 14 or something, and he was caught up into the third heaven and into paradise. And so, you know, there's different writings, but the Bible tells us that the third heaven is the location of paradise and the location of God. And if there is a third heaven, then there must also be a second heaven and therefore a first heaven. When the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and, you know, it says in Genesis that he created the fowls of the heaven, you know, we understand, well, where do birds fly? They fly in the sky. But if they're fowls of the heaven, that means that they are occupying one of these heavens. So we understand that the first heaven is the sky, the atmosphere of the earth, and everything contained therein. So with the first heaven being established by definition in the Bible, being called the heaven where the fowls fly, or the sky, and the third heaven being described as the place where God dwells, then the second heaven is described as, you know, in Ephesians 6:12, we are at war with principalities, with powers, with rulers of darkness, and with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These heavenly places are the second heaven. So there are three levels of heaven, one where God exists, one where spirits operate, and one where we operate. And in order to interact with these other places, we have to understand that we're not going a distance. You know, the Bible says God is near to the brokenhearted. As a matter of fact, the Bible says Christ in us. How is he in us? We're talking about an overlapping dimension. We are in Christ. Why? Overlapping dimension. The kingdom of God, where God exists, the third heaven, is layered on top of our dimension. And beneath it, also layered on top of our dimension, is the second heaven, where evil spirits exist. How can evil spirits, which is a non-corporeal being, possess a man? Well, he's inhabiting the body, but he's actually located in this parallel dimension, this second heaven space. That's why if you do surgery on a possessed person, you're not going to find the spirit in their body, but yet it works in their body. And so understanding that the heavens are layered dimensions, we can understand that it would be, if you are looking to maximize your wickedness, a great idea to contact the spirit in this other dimension. And the way that you do that is to build a portal. Because we understand that the Bible actually talks a lot about portals. And for instance, Jacob's ladder, Jacob lays down, he has a dream, and he sees a ladder to heaven right on top of him in that spot. What was that? Well, that was a portal. We see that in the book of Ezekiel, when he has the visions of God, and we see a black cloud enfolding itself, and through this cloud comes living creatures carrying a throne. It's and you know, this throne, it has wheels, and the wheels are within wheels, and these living creatures are carrying it. And when he looks at it, he sees on it one like unto the appearance of a man, or one like unto the appearance of that word actually is Adam, man. And he sees basically what happens is God is entering the earth realm at that point in time upon his throne being carried by four living creatures. And we see that the black cloud enfolding itself to allow this event to happen is a portal that opens up between the third heaven and the earth to allow God to enter in. This same black clouds are the clouds that come into the temple in Jerusalem in First Kings chapter 8, when Solomon dedicates the temple, the high priest, they can't even go into the Holy of Holies because this cloud, and God has literally opened a portal and entered in. So you can open a portal between heaven and enter into space. God does this. As a matter of fact, if you really understand the new covenant and what God has done with us, he has actually made us portals to his realm, the third heaven, because we have been, according to Ephesians 2:6, raised up and seated in heavenly places. That's literally existing in heaven in spirit. Why? Overlapping dimension, we're an open portal. That's the purpose of our spirit, is to be like a gateway for heavenly activity. So this principle of portals, it It's all over the Bible, and it only makes sense that to get in contact with true wickedness, you want to engage it in the dimension where it exists with a portal. And this is exactly what the Tower of Babel was for, because it says we're going to build a tower to heaven. What heaven? Well, because God came in and said, we're going to stop this from happening. We're going to confuse their languages. We know there was nothing good about this agenda, about them trying to make a name for themselves. No. They were trying to get in contact with the same beings, the same types of beings that gave their ancestors before the flood certain knowledge and certain technologies that allowed the wickedness to happen.
I think that is fascinating, Daniel, because basically there are wicked people today, people like Aleister Crowley and others, who've been trying, of course, to find that portal so they can, of course, communicate with the other dimension, with the spiritual dimension, of course, we're talking about, not the supernatural dimension where God and the good angels certainly dwell, but with the supernatural level where the evil dwells. And, of course, they realize, of course, they can contact that, if they can enter that portal, why, of course, they'll be able to have great wealth, they'll have great knowledge, and it will give them access to the ultimate goal, which is supernatural power. I think that is a fascinating concept. Go right ahead.
Well, yeah, and it seems like, I know that Aleister Crowley, for example, he had something that was called the Alamantra working or whatever, where he is, documented bringing over with a portal a being that looked a lot like the contemporary Greys. Tom Horn actually outlined this in two of his books. This is exactly what he was doing. He was doing a small-scale experiment of occult activity to bring in evil from the second heaven, alternate dimension. And this also explains a lot of why science is going where it is. You have quantum physics now trying to say, why do electrons move from one place to another without crossing the space in between? And if electrons do it, what else does this, what other implications does this have? We're literally looking at something disappearing and reappearing. And what quantum physics is beginning to understand is that there are parallel dimensions. There are multiple levels of existence. What they are doing in creating what they call a multiverse is literally trying to explain what the Bible tells us are the layering of these heavenly dimensions where spiritual activity takes place. So even modern science is catching up to this revelation. Now, I think a lot, from my research, a lot of where things are going in the end of days is going to be centered around portal technology. For instance, let's go to the pyramids, for example. Pyramids are not just tombs. According to Egyptian understanding, they are resurrection machines. In other words, pyramid means pyro, fire, and mid, in the middle. The name itself describes how it works. It forms some kind of fire in the middle. And it's interesting that when God crosses dimension, it's a dark cloud with fire enfolding itself. Well, this technology, which is on the back of our dollar bill with the all-seeing eye, I think that there's a lot there that has been right in our face. And we've just not even seen it.
We don't get it because they've lied to us. They've told us that, the pyramids, they were the tombs of the pharaohs, and that's what they tell you when you go there. No, ladies and gentlemen, they were tapping into the other dimension. Well, Daniel, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Okay. Well, I guess it just...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States.
Pastor Billy Crone, well, he goes into this in great detail. Actually, he's got four or five of them. We carry, of course, the judged creation. That is, I think, either 10 or 12 DVDs. And then we have the fearful creation, which is, I think, 8 DVDs. We have the final countdown, which, of course, goes into the prophecies and how they are being fulfilled today, and that is 10 DVDs, part 1 and part 2, each one. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you're a Christian out there and you're trying to get to a position where you can defend your faith and discuss these things intelligently, why, you'll want to get these DVDs. They do an excellent job. And they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You have to learn how to be able to present the factual information, certainly on this subject, because Noah's flood is pivotal to understanding what's going on today. Is this simply myth, or is the Bible accurate? Was there really a flood, or is this simply an old wives' tale? Ladies and gentlemen, you see evidence of the flood everywhere. You see it in the fossil records, you see it in the historical record, you see it in the fact that they find the clamshells and the oyster shells on top of large mountain ranges. How could that possibly be? And if it's true, why don't we all know, well, there's a conspiracy against God? And when you understand that they took God and prayer out of our schools, not because there was a wall of separation between church and state, because they wanted to destroy our faith in God, and they wanted to use our educational system to destroy the moral fabric of our society and the faith of our children. Get your children out of public schools. Begin to understand what's going on, learn how to discuss these things intelligently, and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talks on the dark secret and the forbidden secret, and their syllabuses with both of those, and then so many other things. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen 24 hours a day on your iPhone, on MP3. If you have a telephone with unlimited minutes, you can listen to our archive, shortwave, our radio stations, our satellite transmissions. Get the information from very, very smart people. Not from me. I'm not a biblical theologian at all. But we get fascinating people on our programs, and you'll learn so much from them. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to support Radio Liberty, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're not in a position to support Radio Liberty, and I know many people out there are having financial problems, then please pray for our provision and for our protection. And I do want to thank the